Political reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal is Molly Beck. She is kind enough to join us again to talk about issues across the river in Wisconsin. Molly, thank you very much for the time. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure. Let's go back to where one of the reasons we first talked to you, which was Foxconn. The reason this came back up again, and you and I already talked about there's real skeptical numbers behind this plan. I guess, well, actually, maybe the best thing for us to do is I'll throw the floor to you. Why don't you explain what Foxconn really is in Wisconsin?
Okay. So Foxconn is a Taiwanese company that is planning to build a huge facility in southeastern Wisconsin near the border with Illinois. And what they want to do is build LCD panels there. And the state got involved because Governor Walker really wanted this project to happen here. The project is promising up to 13,000 jobs, and the whole facility would be about $10 billion. So the state offered the company around $3 billion in incentives to come here, and that persuaded them. So they, you know, signed an agreement, and that was a few months ago when we talked. And now the assembly minority leader, obviously Governor Walker's a Republican, the assembly minority leader is a Democrat, and he put out a memo this week that came from a nonpartisan legislative agency that does analysis of bills and things like that. And it showed that the costs related to the Foxconn project, not totally borne from, state and local taxpayers, but most of it will be. It's going to be around $4.5 billion instead of the $3 billion that, the public was told about initially.
It's not a surprise. We actually had the same thing happen here at the U.S. Bank Stadium, the Viking Stadium. I mean, I think they were saying $1.1 billion was the cost of that. But when you look at street upgrades, sewer upgrades, utility upgrades, right, pedestrian walk bridges, crap like that, they basically ended up being closer to $2 billion for that thing. So it's not a big surprise. But when you're talking about already handing $3 billion out, did they disclose, I mean, is there already deals in place for this additional $1.5 billion, or is this just going to be checks that are going to be handed to the state or to a county or to a municipality that someone is eventually going to have to pay?
So the costs are broken down between, local governments there in the area where this project is going to be created. You know, that's going to be tax increment financing. So some of the costs are in a form of that. Another way the costs are being absorbed is through utilities that are going to be involved in the project. There's going to be a special power line. I'm not really sure how it works, but they're getting their own power source, and that's going to be another cost. Also, there's in this 4.5 figure is the cost of upgrading the interstate in that area, I-94, but that has been a project that's been, wanted for years before Foxconn was even, on the radar of anybody here. So that local governments have given grants to the company. The figure also includes, like you said, road improvements, sales tax exemptions, and also $20 million worth of worker training to get that many people to be able to work in the facility. There's been an issue with, do we even have that many people that could, take those jobs in Wisconsin? So the state's also been working on a campaign to lure people from Chicago to the state, in part because of this project.
Well, and it's something you and I have brought up. One of the big linchpins for this is they can't hire people who live in Illinois to come work in this plant because that kind of negates any benefit to the incomes coming in and staying in Wisconsin, specifically.
Yeah, so there's about a $7 million ad campaign that they're running in Chicago, and it's aimed at asking people there to move to Wisconsin and kind of touting how we don't have long commute times or anything like that, like from Chicago. Areas have.
Well, they have that in Minneapolis, too, for Sioux Falls, South Dakota. You know, it's funny, not a lot of people bite on that. Just FYI. it's like, nothing gets the southeastern Wisconsin area, but, that's going to be a bit of a hard sell, I think, for people to leave Chicago and Illinois specifically. You know, the argument they're going to have is, well, I'll just live here and just drive up there and get the job or take public transportation up there as far as I can. So I think that it's that is a pretty big linchpin. But I want to get back to the $4.5 billion, because the $10 billion, and you mentioned $10 billion, is this Foxconn's going to put this in on top of it? Because if it's $10 billion on top of 4.5, we're starting to get into Bond villain kind of lair type of facilities here. You know, that I mean, it's like hollowed out volcanoes. I mean, is Foxconn and truly going to be adding that, or is that $10 billion actually factoring in the $4.5 billion or $3 billion, whatever, is that factored into that $10 billion cost?
So the $10 billion cost is the facility itself. So they're promising to build a facility that costs that much money. It's going to be, I think, something like 22 million square feet. It's going to be a gigantic place. It's going to be more, you know, like a campus with multiple buildings. It's not just going to be one building. So that's what the $10 billion figure is. And this $4.5 billion figure is the cost to the state and local taxpayers and utility ratepayers. That's what that cost is for.
Well, so, yeah, and land and stuff. I imagine land and stuff is being factored in there, too.
Yep.
But I mean, there does seem to be a bit of a, I mean, and I might be wrong. I'll be the first to say I've been wrong before. But there seems to be something weird about that, because it seems, oh, it's going to be a $10 billion facility we're going to build. That's going to be the cost of the facility. Oh, by the way, we get a whole bunch of tax breaks. And we have talked before about there have been times in the past where Foxconn hasn't followed through with promises for expansion, size of facilities, number of payroll jobs in the past, not necessarily in Wisconsin, but at other places. And that seems to be I don't know, there's just so many foggy numbers that are involved here that it does seem very, don't look at it, don't pay attention to it like the minority leader did in the assembly did. Don't do that. Just go with it, because it's going to be great eventually.
There's some costs that, or I guess checks that Foxconn will receive that they won't have to pay back as long as, you know, they build something. So if there are no jobs that come to Wisconsin because of this facility, ultimately, because of whatever reason, if it doesn't follow through or whatever, they still get some of that money, but it's not all of it. Mm-hmm. But other costs, like, you know, upgrading some of the roads, and I mean, they've already started doing that. So
yeah,
and upgrading the interstate, I mean, that's probably going to happen anyway. It just got expedited because of those projects. So there will be some costs and some money spent that, regardless of what happens, that will still be spent.
That's another thing, too, is that there are some funds, as you just mentioned, that are not necessarily Foxconn funds, but to be looped in there kind of, you know, fudges the numbers the other way, too. So we'll keep up to date on this, because once again, what's the year that eventually this will pay off for Wisconsin to have this? What year is that?
2042 was the estimate initially. I don't think anybody's asked for an updated estimate, but that was the initial estimate.
So 2042... Yeah, let's pop the champagne corks when we get there. Speaking of popping champagne corks, I got to imagine the Wisconsin Democratic Party is feeling pretty darn good right now. Senate 10, which is obviously much closer to us up here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul metro, I'd say it's actually part of the metro area. They had a pretty that's a pretty Republican seat. Went for Trump plus 17. Went for the previous Republican senator there plus 24. The Democrat just in a special election pulled off a plus 11 win, which by my math is a 28-point swing to the left, which immediately sent off Scott Walker and Paul Ryan saying, well, you guys better be paying attention here, because this could end up looking ugly.
Right. Your math is right. It did swing about 28 points in that time, which is, you know, obviously the Republicans here in Wisconsin were pretty alarmed by that election, because the conservative candidate, he was somebody that was, you know, elected to the assembly. So he had some support there. He was considered a legitimate candidate. But the Democrat, she might have had a little bit more of an appealing message from the people I've talked to there. The Republican candidate was pretty against Department of Natural Resources regulations and things like that. And I'm told that might have been an issue in this race, too. But you're right. Democrats and Republicans are kind of seeing this win for Democrats as something that might signal, you know, what's going to come later this year. So the Republican Party of Wisconsin are planning to open about 70 new field offices across the state because of, in reaction to this this Democratic win. And I know that the Democrats are just incredibly fired up right now. They're calling for other vacant seats to be for a special election for those seats because they've seen some success with special elections, especially.
Well, two things, if I can, really. First of all, to play the this entire race out correctly, this was a popular Republican representative running for that Senate seat. This wasn't some out of the blue someone. They had a my reports are it's a 3.5-to-1 ratio of Republican money spent to Democratic money spent in that race. And like I said, and you can bring up issues like the DNR and stuff, but okay, usually maybe 1 or 2 points, not 28. And I think that when the thing which is when I look at that result, the first thing that crosses my mind is these Trump. I mean, in 2016, we knew Trump with the whole Access Hollywood bus thing. We knew that he was mocking a disabled reporter. We knew all these things. And yet still 62 million people voted for him and didn't even bat an eye when they went and voted for him. Something has definitely changed. And it is whether it's the realization, which once again, all politics trickles down. It's all local, but it does trickle down from above. I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily there is anything you can specifically say to this race or in Alabama Senate race or in the Virginia House races that can kind of explain this outside of the fact that Trump is weighing down this entire side of the ticket at this point.
Sure. I mean, President Donald Trump is a significant factor here, too. Nobody's denying that. The woman that held the seat before, she was very popular. It's possible that... you know, she was more popular than how, you know, some of the distaste with the president. But, you know, I know Republicans are, you know, have said that, you know, the effect of Trump is definitely at play here, too. So and that's, you know, part of the reason why they're concerned about, you know, what's going to happen later this year.
I'm not going to hold you to this. Just take a wild guesstimate, okay? How many Wisconsin Republican House and Senate seats are within play if you factor in a 28-point swing in results? Just take a guess.
Oh, I couldn't guess that. I hate when people dodge my questions, but I don't think I can guess that. But I do know that there's another Senate seat that, you know, is not as Republican as that district. And I know that the Republican who's trying to run for that seat has already said publicly that he's concerned about that and is seeking, you know, more grassroots, so to speak, support there. So I know that the Republicans are worried about some of these seats, and with Governor Walker not calling for a special election for a couple vacant seats, Democrats are saying that's more evidence of Republicans being worried about, you know, the effect of Trump and enthusiasm on the Republican side.
It's not only there. I mean, Tim Pawlenty doesn't want to run for Senate. I mean, there's enough behind the scenes going on right now that shows me these Republicans, I think, are terrified. And plus 28 margin. I mean, okay, let's just even go just plus 20. That puts, what, 2/3 of most seats up for grabs for the Democrats. And that's got to be terrifying right now, when especially seats that Republicans have not had to spend money in those races in large quantities. The thought of actually having to go into strongholds and have to spend a lot of money, I imagine, has got to be scaring them. Molly Beck joining us from the Wisconsin State Journal. With that being said, I've noticed that you have been covering a wide variety of things. There are two paths, I think, that generally when you have the idea that the Republican Party is going to go, might be having a bad election ahead. You either try to tone down your message and try to find a populist stance, or you basically go for the brass ring. And it kind of seems like Walker's going for the brass ring a little bit. Welfare reform, prison reform, there are some pretty big issues that he's trying to push through that definitely fall, at least from the outside, they appear to fall on the more conservative side of the political belt.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a number of issues that he has just recently, you know, brought forward as, you know, big initiatives this year that a lot of people are saying it's because of either pulling on those issues or, you know, trying to boost his base support. He just released a package or a special session request today on some bills that would, you know, add more work requirements for food stamp recipients and require Medicaid recipients to pay child support and, you know, a number of changes to the welfare programs here. And then, you know, there's been years of allegations of inmate abuse at Wisconsin's youth prison, and that's been an issue for a long time. But, it's become kind of central to the governor's race because a lot of Democrats are just hitting him on that for not closing the facility. So that's what he just, you know, proposed to close the facility. And while that's, you know, doing what the Democrats have asked him to do, it's also something that Democrats can say that he's doing just to, you know, boost his support for reelection this November.
I imagine you're going to get some elements of that where it's like, who, Donald, who? I never voted for him. I mean, if it starts looking as bad as it could look. I mean, and once again, midterm elections generally go the way of the minority party, the party that's not in the White House, I should say, rather. But, you know, it's the case. If things look bad, I'm expecting a lot of retirements, and I'm also expecting a lot of people who all of a sudden are going to have that come to Jesus moment where they're all of a sudden, I'm completely against Trump in an effort to try to save face and try to keep these seats. But when you're looking at the 2020 census coming in and some of these elections that are coming up, not just Wisconsin, not just Minnesota, but around the country, you're looking at races now which are going to affect how districts are redrawn. And a major bloodbath for the Republicans is going to have dramatic consequences, not just in 2018 and in the years after that, but 2020, 2024 as well.
Right. And our redistricting lawsuit actually is still before the Supreme Court right now. So however that goes, that'll be another, you know, change here that will be significant for Democrats, you know, depending on how those maps are redrawn, if that's the way it goes.
Judging from Senate District 10, I don't know if they need to do that. So I don't think it's nearly the concern it was just about a week ago. So we'll have to find out. Molly Beck, we'll make sure we spotlight this interview. Thank you very much. Wisconsin State Journal, I'll make a link to the stories that we talked about. And Molly, thank you very much. Please come back.
Thanks for having me. I will.
All righty. Molly Beck joining us from the Wisconsin State Journal down in Madison. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.